Dave.
Whatever, Dave.
Whatever, Dave.
You okay, say yeah, Dave.
Whatever.
Whatever, Dave.
It's the Whatever, Dave Radio Network, wherever fine podcasts are ignored.
Hi, guys.
Wow.
Whatever, Dave. Whatever, Dave. Whatever, Dave.
Dave.
You were calling him Dave earlier before the show started. I like that. That's how I test my audio, by screaming at Dave into the microphone.
That's good.
Because that's gonna inevitably happen during the show.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I'm going to start the show with what used to be kind of an old radio, a tired old radio topic. But I think in this new age with changing consumer habits, I think that it merits a revisit. And that is, how much time should you let go by before you give a spoiler for a TV show? Mainly, now that we're streaming, now that streaming and binge watching is sort of the new consumer habit. Once upon a time, I would say, okay, 48 hours before you talk about a TV show, because you only had to watch 1 half-hour episodes, 48 hours should be enough. For a movie, I used to say 2 weeks. You can't make it opening weekend. The next weekend, you can go and check it out. After that, it's fair game. But this last Friday, July 1st at midnight, which would be Thursday night and Friday morning, the final episodes of the latest season of Stranger Things came out.
Wow.
And I started watching it. I got through about half of it, and then took a break. I was scrolling through Facebook, and there was a bunch of memes about Stranger Things on my Facebook feed. And this was Saturday afternoon. Somebody was talking about one of the characters in the show that died. And half the people on the page said, "Whoa, dude, spoiler." The other half of the people on the page said, "Well, you should have watched it by now." But that was less than 48 hours. I would think that is, to me, that's too soon for even one episode, let alone these series on Netflix or Hulu, where there could be 6 to 8 episodes in a season. So I wanted to ask you guys, let's just do the trifecta. How long should you wait before you can give spoilers for traditional TV shows, movies, and new seasons of streaming shows?
6 to 8 months.
Okay. Well, by then the water cooler talk would die down, but nothing would be spoiled. So I
asked for my opinion.
I would take that over the less than 48 hours that these people on Facebook were saying. So
I think that every rule about spoilers with streaming and movies nowadays, because a lot of movies are in the theater and on streaming at the same time, are all out the window.
Might you want to throw in sporting events, too? Who wins? Who loses?
Yeah, that'd be a good question.
I remember Dave getting really TO'd by one of our friends who told him how a game ended up when we went out to dinner once.
Yes, Dave. How long should the bubble for your little horsey football team be intact?
Well, let's just first say, who goes to a place with no televisions to watch what's going on, number one?
Dave, you suck.
That was my fault, okay?
Well, we weren't there to watch Northeastern Tennessee in the third round of the NIT or whatever.
All right. That's the first problem.
Okay.
No, you can't put... It's too hard to stay off, social media and
especially
updates
for sports.
It's just too hard.
Yeah.
And so, and unfortunately, where you have some streaming that lets you binge everything, like for instance, Cobra Kai,
mm-hmm.
we'll put everything out. Okay. Whereas like Stranger Things would do maybe, or a couple of things, or the new Obi-Wan Kenobi. One a week.
See, I don't get that new trend of these streaming services just putting out one episode a week. You might as well just be watching it on network TV. That's the big advantage streaming has over TV, is you can release all the episodes.
I think it's all about marketing and trying to drag it along. I mean, I agree with you. The Obi-Wan series, which was, we're going to show you the first two and then spread out the next four every Wednesday for another month.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just put it all out.
It might be a Netflix thing too. Maybe they won't cancel their subscription if they're still waiting.
that is a good point, because we will subscribe and unsubscribe based on what we want to watch. If there's no new shows out that we want to watch, we will cancel the subscription.
There it is.
Also, the other thing, and I think we've talked about this, about these binge shows, is that you do, obviously you enjoy watching them, but you don't kind of develop that long-term emotional attachment to them, because you watch them in a weekend and then you don't watch them again for 2 years.
True. You might have to wait a year, but then the anticipation grows for the next season, whenever it may come back. Because if they're good enough that you're watching, let's say, 10 half-hour to 45-minute episodes in a whole weekend, then they accomplished what they set out to do.
Like Fuller House.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and that's a good
Fuller House.
That's a good point. I mean,
I never watched.
I mean, Full House, you watched Full House every week for however long it was on, 10 years or whatnot.
8 years.
8 years. And so I would say I have a much stronger emotional attachment to Jesse Kansopoulos than I do. To the kids from Stranger Things, because although I love the show and I love all the characters, I've loved every season of it. I forget how much I like the show until I start watching it again, because there's two years in between. Mm-hmm. And pretty soon, you know, these Stranger Things kids are going to have kids of their own, and it's just going to be awkward.
Now, do you ever go back and watch some of your shows that you loved back in the day? And watch everything and like rewatch the whole series again?
No, just The Office, because it's literally on two different TV channels every night.
So do you remember the TV show ER?
Sure.
Okay.
George Clooney.
So ER was on for 15 seasons.
Yeah.
I just now finished watching all 15 seasons again, and each of them were like 45 to 48 minutes long. And there were like 18 to 24 episodes a season.
Wow. You are lonely.
Including that live episode that aired in 97?
Yes.
Anything could happen because it's live.
Wow.
All right. So Richard says 6 to 8 months, which I find to be much more valid than the less than 48 hours.
To be perfectly honest with you, I never say anything about anything that's really big like that in front of anybody.
Unless it's brought up to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dave, you say all the rules are out the window. It's the Wild West.
Yeah, they're gone.
I would say,
Dave, you suck.
I would say for streaming shows, it should be the same. It should be the same as with movies. About 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, then it's fair game.
Yeah, no thanks.
Dave, let's dive into your stack of stuff before we give everyone an update on your disturbing doctor's office habits.
First story comes from everyone. This person that everyone knows and loves, Michigan's own Tim Allen. Apparently,
I thought he was going to say Slash, Rich.
Oh, yeah. I love Slash.
Apparently, Tim Allen's yacht forced a Michigan marina to shut down over the 4th of July weekend after leaking some fuel.
It needed more power.
Right?
Yes.
He's living out the Tim Taylor trope.
Apparently, he was at the Northport Village Marina, and roughly 30 gallons of diesel fuel leaked out of his yacht.
That's what happens when Al Borland's not there saying, I don't think so, Tim.
That's right.
That's right. So the question, here's something that was interesting that I didn't know. Diesel fuel spreads quicker than regular fuel.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So,
I knew
that. Did you? So it causes these 30 gallons caused some problems when they had to close down the whole marina, in addition to the beach that was nearby, the playground that was nearby.
He ruined everybody's vacation. He ruined everyone's pure Michigan vacation.
Man.
He spent all this time,
how ironic,
voicing those great spots. Mm-hmm. Come up
apparently
to Traverse City,
a faulty fuel filter gasket that caused the problem. Now, you would have think that Tim Allen, being Tim the Tool Man Taylor, she should have known that this was going to happen.
No, this is exactly what I would expect from Tim the Tool Man Taylor.
And he is responsible for all the cleanup costs.
Yeah, I mean, that's a drop in the bucket.
So the Home Improvement Actor claims that he only leaked 11 gallons. But
Dave Richard is trying to do
that's okay.
Yes.
Go ahead. I like David flipping through his stuff.
Coming up to Northport, but enjoy stay away from delicious white fish dinner.
but stay away from the marina. It's a biohazard.
Oh, yeah. Says here, witnesses told people they saw several dead ducklings, carp, and a pike in the marina after the spill. But the Leelanau Township Fire Chief Hugh Cook said it did not appear that the spill affected any wildlife.
Except for those dead ducks.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. All right, Dave. Well, that's...
So,
I know any other witnesses tell you to shut up?
No.
That's what happens when Al Borland's not around us to
he's too
talk
busy
him out
telling
of
you how to properly recycle your batteries.
Yeah. Is that Richard Karn's
yes.
new racket?
Or he does the...
Oh, yeah, he does do that.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah, or he does the ladder that folds into like a triangle. I forget what it's called. He also does those commercials, but
yeah, he's lost a lot of weight.
Borland, was he your favorite character, or was it the neighbor that was?
I loved Wilson.
No, it was Heidi.
Because the first season was Pamela Anderson, correct?
Right.
She was the first Tim the Tool Man Taylor Tool Girl or whatever.
Yeah. Remember when Jonathan Taylor Thomas went through puberty? He wasn't cute anymore, so they tried to make like the older guy all hot and stuff, and it just didn't work. And then, like, the younger one got goth, and he, like, married a woman, like, 30 years older than him in real life.
Yeah, I remember that.
Anyone who thinks these two should not be married, speak now or forever hold your peace.
Oh, no. Oh, no, she's too old for you. To be honest with you, I really enjoyed Tom Postman's performance on that show as the Alpena Airport guy.
Oh, is that the one where he says, I want to talk to a manager, and then he turns his... name tag around it. It says manager.
Yes.
That was such a great bit.
It was
back
my favorite.
All right, Dave, next topic.
I have to confer. I have to go to, you know, confer to my friend Michael, because this is a product that is made famous with TikTok.
Oh,
okay.
Right. And since I have a TikTok,
since you are my TikTok aficionado,
you're kind of like my elderly relative who thinks that because I own a computer, I know everything about computers.
Correct.
I have a TikTok. So ergo, I must be an expert on TikTok.
So this is a creation by a guy by the name of Kevin Bertolero.
Yes.
And he says that
strong Italian
name. How many times do you look at a clock or look at time and are happy? How many times have you looked at your watch and you see, okay, well, this is what time it is, and it makes you happy?
You guys like Donald Duck.
like watches?
This has to do with ducks.
Can I answer, Dave?
Yes, please.
I mean, if I want to know what time it is and I look at the clock and it tells me the time, mission accomplished. I've got no complaints.
You feel satisfied. Huh?
It's not like I'm doing backflips, but
it's a little things.
Served its purpose.
What Bertolero says is, oh, sick. It's 10:30. Awesome. So he's being sarcastic, obviously.
I feel like this guy is trying to sell us something we don't need already.
Well, that's right. That's one of the reasons the 30-year-old has been making watches that don't tell time.
What?
Wow.
They're meant to be worn like a traditional watch, except you won't see a clock face when checking your wrist. Instead, you'll find a tiny 3D printed pool with magnetic duckies and bubbles.
Wow.
And this is a picture of the watch.
Oh, you brought a visual aid. Yeah. I love when you do that for radio. Yeah.
So this is creating quite the stir on TikTok.
Wow. Because it's dumb.
Well,
that's how you go viral on TikTok.
I don't know. But I mean, he's getting tons of hits and views.
Because he's starting an argument over something dumb. You know what you call a watch that doesn't tell time? A bracelet. And it's already been invented.
I'd like to see you wearing a bracelet.
Maybe.
You don't wear much jewelry.
You know, maybe we should get friendship bracelets.
That's not a bad idea. The three of us, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, Dave can be in on this.
So the ducks just kind of float around on the wrist, but they don't really tell you what time it is. They just kind of float around, and this is like, and they're 3D.
Keep Tim Allen away from them ducks.
Yeah.
He's going to kill him with his yacht.
And this guy is just like killing it on TikTok with this watch.
I want to wear a locket with your face in it, Dave.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, and then I want me and the other. I mean, you get another part of it.
You know,
what do you think?
What I would want is for us to each have a third of a heart.
Oh.
And then we put it all together. It makes a full heart.
That's nice.
Thanks to TikTok, he sold 300 watches and is due to sell 1,200 by the end of the year.
Well,
yeah, no thanks.
I mean, this is stupid, but I'm not going to begrudge anyone who finds a way to separate idiots from their money. I wish that I... could find a way to do that, and I haven't thought of it
yet.
He
said he created the watch because it made his inner child happy.
Well, that's good. That sounds like some wuss stuff. All right. Well, you know
I
what?
I respond to
he
it.
Can, he can go.
I think this is what you might want for Christmas or for your birthday.
All right.
Yes.
Well, would you wear it?
Oh, yeah.
Only when you recorded whatever, Dave?
I'd wear it on my ankle, though.
Right.
Michael, would you want one of these?
No, you'd be wasting your money. I mean, look, if Richard, if it appeases Richard's inner child and he likes it, Richard's my friend. I want him to be happy.
Oh, that's nice.
Just because it's not right for me, does it? Yeah. Can I help you?
Oh, look at that.
Wow. All right. Special. We have a mysterious stranger just walked
Speedy
in.
Delivery.
We being, show, guys. Are we being, served
you,
papers?
Wow.
Is one of
that?
Us being sued. That was Blake from the Mitch Albom Show. He just came in here and dropped me this piece of paper here.
Hmm.
Do
tell, Michael. Do read.
It says, would you rather get kicked in the shin every day for a year right when you get out of bed or get a single shot in your arm every day for 10 years to wake you up in the morning? You know what? Let's let that one marinate.
Ooh.
We'll finish Dave's stack of stuff and then we'll get back to this. So think of your answers. I'm not really paying much attention when Dave talks anyway, so give me some time to think.
All right. Well, since you're not thinking of stuff,
have
either of you ever been to the Everglades down in Florida?
I spent my 32nd honeymoon in the Everglades.
Okay.
Not now, Dave. I'm thinking.
All right.
No. Look, if I had my way, I would fill in the Everglades, the Amazon River,
the Grand Canyon
with concrete because it's full of snakes and evil reptiles and man-eating monsters. So, no, I will not go to the Everglades.
It's funny that you mentioned that because starting later this summer, hundreds of hunters will disperse across Florida's Everglades.
Yeah.
And what's their target?
Yeah, alligators.
Alligators.
An apex predator known to grow up to 18 feet that hunts animals as large as an alligator and sometimes as small as a wood rat.
A crocodile.
These hunters are going after the Burmese python.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say that.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say that.
One of the largest species of snakes and a major nuisance to Florida's wildlife.
Whoa. Yeah. See, this is why I live in the north. We're overrun by deer. I can live with being overrun by deer. I do not want to live in a place where you're being overrun by freaking pythons.
Oh, they need to put Tim Allen in there.
You know, so native
chemical-reaching boat.
Native to Southeast Asia, these snakes were first introduced to Florida in the 70s, and they've reproduced at an astronomical level.
So they're invasive species.
Correct.
Invasive species.
So starting August 5th and continuing for 10 days, these hunters, both professional and novice, will fan out in South Florida to humanely capture and kill the snakes for the state's annual Python Challenge.
Wow.
Come on. I would love to do this.
You know what? Not
I
me.
Would love to do this.
You know what would happen? Those freaking snakes would turn on me and kill me.
Yeah, you'd be the first to go.
Yeah.
Registration for the
I'm the slowest,
challenge.
So ergo the first to die.
Yeah, registration's opened. Anyone interested in competing must first register and take a required online training course that covers humane killing methods and ways to identify these snakes.
Bit of an oxymoron.
Yeah, what? So what's the humane killing method?
Listening to this show.
It says here the competition is not an easy feat, nor is it for the faint of
heart. No, I'm way too faint of heart for this.
Plus, your pasty white skin wouldn't last a day in the hot Florida
sun. Man, they would be able to. I would be the heat coming off my sunburn would make me a prime target. You know, because they're cold-blooded, they would wrap themselves around me for warmth and squeeze the life out of me.
So how many times a day do you intellectually romance me?
Apparently, there's a $10,000 grand prize for first place for this competition.
You didn't say anything about a prize.
Here's the thing, though. As much as I hate snakes, it kind of bums me out of the fact that, like, the snakes that aren't, like, bothering anyone are just being massacred.
It says here that...
I feel like you should only kill a snake if it's trying to kill you first.
Sure. Self-defense. Right.
Yeah.
It says here that there are tips for the wannabe python hunters.
Give us a few tips.
These nocturnal snakes
Can
be found in vegetation, grass, and by the road. For the competition, the snakes have to be presented dead. The state requires certain methods of humane extermination.
Whoa.
And within 24 hours of their capture and kill.
Wow.
All of that sounds creepy.
So there is a humane way to do this. Ugh. There is a humane way to kill these, and you're helping the ecosystem of the Everglades in Florida.
One time I was watching, I think it was an episode of Ren and Stimpy, where they just took a saw and sawed Florida off the United States. Can we do that? There's too many man-eating reptiles and amphibians.
It says here that though the snakes are not venomous, they are massive constrictors and they can kill a person.
Yeah.
So they suggest hunting and competing with a partner due to the potential risks.
Yeah.
Now, there are several other native snakes that that call the Everglades home, some of which are venomous, like the cottonmouth rattlesnake.
Yeah.
Those are not on the kill list.
Well,
and not during the competition. You can't kill them.
Here's the thing. I haven't gotten to nearly 38 years of life seeking out man killing pythons, and I don't plan on starting now. So
this is one of this looks like a lady who's very happy with her kill.
Yeah.
Right here.
Yeah, that elderly woman who killed that python, assuming it's dead, I would think it'd be like Michael Myers, where you think it's dead and then you go check on it and it springs to life and gets you. That elderly woman is much braver than I'd ever be.
Is that a modern photo, David? It looks like it's from 1972.
Dave, that's a picture from the women's suffrage movement. That's not a python. It's a sash that says, "Let women vote."
Looks like she's knitting a flag.
Yeah. That's Betsy Ross.
You show us this picture of Betsy Ross. Try to pass it off as some lady who killed a snake for a prize.
Right.
I see what you're up to.
First of all,
I'm done with Dave Stack's stuff. Okay, I'm sorry. Finish.
Okay, you know what? Fine. I do have one more, but we'll let it go so you can get to your thing.
Well, the messenger, the mysterious man who dropped off this piece of paper is listening, so we better get to it. All right, Richard. Would you rather get kicked in the shin every day for a year right when you get out of bed, or get a single shot in your arm every day for 10 years to wake you up in the morning?
Single shot in the arm, easy.
Really?
Yep.
You know what? I have to take one shot every 2 weeks for my eczema. And man, I don't look forward to it. I've never been a fan of getting a shot. Well, no one's a fan of getting a shot, but
yeah, there's probably some people in there,
right? Some sadomasochists.
Yeah.
But I mean, when I was a kid, I used to have to get allergy shots, and I can't. One thing I can't do is when I'm getting a shot to watch the needle go into my arm.
Right.
But getting kicked in the shin does hurt like an SOB.
Oh, yeah. And you get the bruise.
Yeah.
Well, your arm, I guess, would be bruised from all the shots, too.
Yeah. I feel like the shin, getting kicked in the shin every day, would have more long-term adverse effects than getting a shot in the arm. And maybe it's a shot of something cool.
And
you know,
if it's a shot of something cool, I'd be into it. And also, I wouldn't have to worry about setting an alarm or anything. I'd just go to sleep. I'd feel as relaxed as possible the night before because somebody's going to give me the shot. That'll wake me up.
Well, I might have a hard time falling asleep because I know as soon as I close my eyes, that shot could be coming at any time. But like if it's a vitamin B shot or like a shot of like steroids that make me feel invincible.
Yeah,
I guess it depends on what the shot is, but I guess, I guess I would get a single shot in my arm every day for 10 years.
Wow.
But the shin is only for a year.
Oh, really? I didn't know the shin was only for a year.
Maybe I left that out.
Did they clarify on who would be kicking you in the shin and how hard it would be?
No.
Because obviously, I think the kicking in the shin is going to be the better route to go.
Yeah. You know,
really?
Now that I went back and read that getting kicked in the shin every day for a year, right when you get out of bed, I'm going to do that because in a year it's over. So,
oh no, not me.
You're going to stay with the shot.
Not to mention,
you
do not know how hard you're going to get.
Because I like walking.
Who's doing the kicking?
Okay. Well, you know, the messenger just texted me and said,
whoa,
Dave's niece. So if it's your niece kicking me in the shin every
100%.
Day for your easy, easy.
100%.
So, okay.
Well, I disagree with
especially
both
if
of
it's
you.
My niece, Eliana, but she's like just a year old.
So we got one vote for
the shot.
The shot.
And we got easily.
And we got two votes for the shin.
There you go.
Which I changed my answer at the last second. So
I gotta ask you guys, don't you think after a whole year of being kicked in the shin and the same, so you're not gonna be able to walk?
Right.
I'll be walking just fine with my nice little wake up alarm.
He said it was from my niece.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Kids can kick you really hard.
Right. Well, so
she's which niece? He needs to clarify. The 1 year old or the 6.5 year old or the 3.5 year old?
No, the one that lives locally, Dave.
All right. Well, then
you got to think of logistics.
Well, that's the 6.5 year old.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just the one who was bred specifically to kick you in the shin by your brother.
Yeah, this would be great. All right, go get Uncle Dee Dee. Yeah, go kick him in the shin. Yeah. He'll love it.
Valid point, Mike. You both bring up valid points.
All right. So Dave has something he wants to ask us in just a second, but before we go to that, before we forget. A couple weeks ago, we talked about Dave's just completely insane habits at the doctor's office, which Dave, if I leave anything out, you can correct me. Dave cannot be bothered to stay at the doctor's office a minute longer than he feels he has to. So Dave makes sure he gets the first appointment of the day, and he stands in the doorway and stares at the staff until the doctor shows up. Am I correct? Am
That's
I leaving
the gist
anything
of it.
Out?
Okay. That's the gist of it, yeah.
Which to me sounds complete.
We did have a mutual friend who was like, oh, I'm all for that, Dave. I love
well,
that.
Yeah, you found one person in the whole world.
Yeah. And he lives in the mirror.
Yeah. So and Dave, you said that you have a friend in the medical community you were going to run this by. Have you run this by your friend yet?
I have not run it through my friend in the medical community. I haven't talked to that person.
Good thing you say that, because speaking of TikTok.
Yeah,
I knew you'd find somebody. Well, and I didn't even look at this. It must have been the microphone algorithm that listens to you. But I found a doctor on TikTok, not just any doctor, Dave. This is a legitimate ass surgeon. This is Dr. Jason Cohen. He's a cancer surgeon at Cedars-Sinai. I believe that's in California.
Yeah,
maybe
Cedars-Sinai.
Yes, it is. It's well, a world renowned hospital.
Yeah, right. So it's not like, it's not like he's just putting on Band-Aids in urgent care here. I mean, this is a legit ass dude.
Okay. No scrubs.
No, except for when he's operating.
Correct.
He has to wear this
sanitary.
And here's what he has to say about pushy customers like Dave.
Roll tape.
The bottom line is, as much as I am here to make a living, I'm not doing this to make money off the people. So as soon as my assistant said the patient wants his money back, I said, fine, give him his money back. So that's what we did. We gave the patient their money back. The truth is I'm not here doing cosmetic stuff.
Yeah, Dave.
I'm not here, you know, late because I went to have a drink,
right,
you know, at the club.
Listen to this, Dave.
I'm not late because I was horsing around.
Right, it's not horsing around,
late
Dave.
Because probably the patient before you, who I just gave a cancer diagnosis to, needed a little more time.
Yep.
Or maybe I'm running around dealing with an emergency.
Yep. Boom, Dave.
Dave, you suck.
So there you go. The whole time you're sitting there staring down the nurses and the medical assistants and the receptionist because your doctor's 5 minutes late.
End the show right now. No time for him to respond.
Yeah.
The show's over.
Yeah. So, Dave, what do you have to say for yourself here?
This is probably going to be an unpopular remark, but.
Well, Dave, you should be used to being unpopular.
But I will say this.
I love sentences that start out that way.
A coworker of ours has a great quote that she likes to use a lot.
Was that right?
And her quote is, it sounds to me like the cancer diagnosis that person needed a little more time with the doctor that infringed on my time was a their problem and not a me problem.
Whoa!
Well,
sorry. I'm sorry.
Number one, Dave.
I'm sorry.
Whoa! You are correct. That is a very unpopular thing to say. Number two, I'm going to give you a little advice here.
Whoa.
Be yourself. No, first, become a better person than you are now and then be yourself. You know,
I don't have time.
What's to stop these doctors from refusing you service? You have a hernia? Okay, Dave, what if you go into a doctor's office with a very painful hangnail or a hernia and you get there and you're all mad because the doctor's 5 minutes late? You're just wasting your time. You feel like your time is being wasted. You're out there staring at his staff and he walks in and says, you know, we've been getting a lot of complaints about you and we are going to exercise our right to refuse you service. Now all your time has been wasted because you couldn't wait another 5 to 10 minutes for the doctor to finish up with something important.
I also want to clarify something.
Yeah.
Okay. Most of the time
you're in there because I am,
I'm at a general practitioner, right. Doctor. I'm not a specialist. While going to a specialist, you might, and you might assume or anticipate that it might be a little bit longer,
okay,
because it might be a specialized diagnosis. If it's just a general doctor, then they have no excuse why they're making me wait.
Okay, so Dave, would you give a specialist a little more leeway?
Yes.
Even though, quote, the cancer diagnosis is not a Dave problem. Well, what if it's your cancer, Dave? Then it is a Dave problem.
Wouldn't you like a little extra time with the doctor? As someone who has gone through some medical problems in his life,
impotence,
I don't know how I followed this up. I lost my whole train of thought now. Thanks.
That's not all you lost.
It happens to a lot of guys.
It's the Lord punishing you for being such a terrible patient.
I would give the specialist.
Well, I'd want them to close the door if that were the case.
I would give the specialist a little more time.
Okay.
At least 5 extra minutes.
All right. Okay, oh, wow. Right. Well, that's
very generous of you.
Very magnanimous. All right, Dave. So now you actually have kind of an ethical dilemma that you wanted to run by us
as well.
Oh, really?
So, yes.
That's why we breezed through his snack of stuff.
All three of us know this person who I'm speaking of.
Sure. Is it you?
It's not me. This person works in the media.
Okay.
All right.
Huel Perkins.
And this person did a topic on a show last night that was the top 10 best killing scenes in movies.
Okay.
Okay. However, whatever your favorite killing scene is.
Yeah.
And he got a lot of hate on social media for doing a topic like that. Number one, with what happened to the 4th of July in Highland Park.
Mm-hmm.
Also, what happened with the Detroit cop that got shot and killed last night.
Right.
And my question is, do you feel that now the genre of this station that he works at is not news talk?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so it's a sports station.
Okay.
And so this was just something to do during the summer when there's not much to talk about besides the Tigers. There's not much else going on. Do you feel that he deserved the hate for being insensitive with this topic based on what's been going on in the world right now?
Go ahead, Richard.
Or was it just a case of bad timing?
I think it's bad timing. I don't particularly find anything too offensive about the topic itself, especially since it's all fiction. And I think it at the most, they're probably just guilty of being a little tone deaf, I'd say.
Yeah. I mean, it's quite obvious who you're talking about, but
I don't know who it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah. My first thought, it was bad timing. I mean, it's different on a sports station than if we were covering it here at our news talk station, because here at our news talk station, we did talk about these terrible events. So if we were to talk about, you know, the police shooting the other night in Detroit, and we were to cover the 4th of July parade shooting in Highland Park, Illinois, over the weekend, and then we transition into that topic, yes, that would be very insensitive at worst and tone deaf at best. If it's a sports station, I could see why people might have a problem with it, but it wouldn't, if I were listening to a sports station, it wouldn't necessarily jump out at me as being as insensitive as if I were listening to a news talk station.
Right. Yeah.
Here on WJR, you know, Guy's show every Friday, we do that theme and everything. And I remember, one day my theme was going to be shots, like shots of alcohol. And I forgot which shooting happened. But it happened the day after I'd gotten all the songs in there that was about, shots of alcohol. And there was a shooting somewhere, and I'm like, well, I have to completely, you know, change this, 'cause I can't, even though it has nothing to do with gunshots, it'd still be very, very insensitive.
You played it safe.
Yeah. So, I think maybe here at a news talk station where we talk about these tragic, terrible things on a regular basis, my antenna would be up more than if I were on a sports station.
That's a good way of saying it.
Yeah. So I agree. I think it was just a timing issue and somebody that got caught being very upset with what the lack of judgment on this person's part. And I think that it just was just bad timing at, you know, for what was going on at the time.
Did they trouble with management at all?
No.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Like I said, I know where that person came from, especially if, you know, God forbid, you know, they or someone they know might have been in, you know, a similar situation, because unfortunately it's happening more and more frequently. You know, like we said, one of these terrible stories happened right here in the city this week. Obviously, what happened at Oxford High School. So, on a sports station, it wouldn't have jumped out at me as much as it would have jumped out at me on a news talk station. And who's to say, you know, this guy might have had this topic planned, you know, before all this stuff happened.
Sure.
And he just never thought of it.
It was just one of those topics you just use for, like, you know, the long days of summer where there's just not much to talk about.
Yeah.
Except for one thing going on.
I mean, if it were me, I would feel bad for making other people feel bad. And it might be like, okay, well, you know, we're kind of in this new climate. People are a little more sensitive. I don't think they're being oversensitive, because stuff like this is happening more frequently, and it's happening everywhere.
Right.
But like I said, if I were driving and I heard it on a sports station, it probably wouldn't have even occurred to me.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
All right. Well, we are.
I just want to add one more thing.
Oh,
before we close tonight.
Dave,
and that is
or keep being, the show going.
Being
keep
totally serious.
We
joke around a lot on Whatever Dave. And correct. That is the whole part of the entertainment value of the podcast.
Not me. I'm sick of all the horsing around.
But obviously,
but
obviously, back to the doctor story.
Sure.
If the doctor was late coming into the room because he did have to seriously give bad news to somebody, obviously,
sure,
I would understand.
Goes without.
And my comment was part of the entertainment value of while I do what Mike says I do. Because my time is very important.
Yeah.
I just want it to be known that I'm not a total heartless bastard.
Sure, that's
got it.
Good.
This is
we know that.
This is the first ever same episode retraction.
I love a good retraction.
Yeah, we're breaking new ground here.
I kind of feel like you might have to play a disclaimer after this.
Yeah. You want me to edit that joke out?
No, not at all.
Before I post it?
Because I feel I'm explaining.
Okay.
It is part of the entertainment value of whatever Dave is.
And since we're breaking kayfabe here, breaking the fourth wall, you know, like I said, you know, we kind of like this show. It's us, but we all kind of play up a role, you know, like there's the old axiom when it comes to like a three person radio show. There's the dick, the dork, and the deer. Right. Dave's the dork. I'm the dick. I play up. You know, I'm not. Well, I would say I'm not as mean to Dave in real life, but maybe I am. I like Dave a lot more than I might let on the show. How about that? And Rich is the deer because he's just the most lovable person that you'll ever meet.
Oh, my goodness.
And so we play those, and sometimes it overlaps. So for a second, Dave, you were the dick.
Right.
And sometimes I become the dork, and sometimes, you know, one of us will be the deer while Rich is the dork. It's just, you know, we kind of, right. Well,
at the end of the day,
it's on your birth certificate.
At the end of the day, the origins of whatever Dave that formed in Michael's mind.
Yes.
Was the entertainment value, obviously, was at the forefront.
Right. Yes. So just to be clear, if a doctor was late because they gave a cancer diagnosis,
correct,
Dave would graciously forgive them for being 5 minutes late. Okay, go. We're rambling. Let's end the show now. Thanks for listening, everyone.
See
bye.
You guys.